गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी
गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन
यशोदानंदन
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन
जमुना तीर वनचारी
जमुना तीर वनचारी
जमुना तीर वनचारी
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन
यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी
दंडनेश्वर भगवान की
जय।
श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मैया की
जय।
थाय घोर प्रेमानंदी ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
हरे रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। So welcome everybody to this weekly Sunday program at Radha Landanishwar Temple in London. And as we understand that Srila Prabhupada, the personality sitting in front of us, he started this system of having this program every Sunday. And he called it the Sunday Love Feast, isn't it? And the whole idea was that the community as whole in a mood of a family, the family of devotees, a family of aspiring devotees, that includes people who have come for the first time, who are just coming into temple. He wanted all of them to come together and have the wonderful darshan of the most munificent lords. Lord Jagannath. Jagannath means the Lord of the universe. So to have darshan of the Lord, to have the most darshan of the charming deities residing here in form of Radha Landanishwar, the Lord of London, and come here and then participate in Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and of course Krishna Prasad, which is going to follow very soon. So today we are been given the topic of speaking about creating a caring community. So to create anything, it is not easy. To create some, it's very easy to destroy, is it not? Once you want to, we want to destroy anything, it's so easy. But to create something, it takes a huge effort. And much more effort is required to maintain something, is it not? If there is a huge construction site where they're constructing a skyscraper building, and the amount of time that they spend digging the foundation of that building is practically 60-70% of the time is spent in the foundation, and the rest of the building takes the remaining 40%. So to create a foundation is the most important. And the wonderful thing about this is that in spite of spending so much time on creating a foundation, the foundation is never seen. It is just below the ground. What is seen is the building. But what it takes to create that building is a strong foundation. So similarly, in one sense, it is very, very easy. In one sense, that somebody just gets a book on the street, or somebody gets a prasad and gets an address that there's a temple in so and so place in London, and then you just come here and then come and see have the darshan and be part of the program. But for people to really not just come once, but keep coming again and again. It is very, very important to create a caring community. Because what we get really attracted to is love and care. What we are really looking for is love and care. The soul, which we really are, is pleasure seeking, and also it is seeking love and care. And wherever it finds that love and care, it feels very, very comfortable. So what we're going to talk today is about what exactly is this caring community. What does really care mean? And many times we don't even know what really care means. So what is really care? What are the real components of care? And then how can we create an environment of caring, of a caring community, so that people who are coming to Krishna consciousness, to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, they feel very sheltered and nourished, and we can attract more and more people to our temple.
We can see that each one of us, you know, if we, I'm speaking like this because some of you are very, very new, who have come for the first time. And what we are talking here is about spiritual subject matters. And most of the time in the material world, we deal with material body and we talk on the material platform. But Srila Prabhupada has created these temples for education and training, where you are given education that how we are not this temporary body, but we are spirit soul, who is the eternal soul. And nature of the soul is to be Sat Chit and Ananda. He is eternal, he is blissful, and he has all the knowledge. Because the nature of the soul is bliss, is blissful, we are looking for that bliss wherever we go. Any activity you do, you are trying to seek pleasure. Whether you are trying to eat something and enjoy, you want to seek pleasure. If you are watching a movie, you are watching something, you are going to park, what for what you are going? Because you want to be happy. I am sure when all the friends go out for a movie and when they come out of the movie, what is the first question you ask each other?
Did you enjoy?
Yes. Why do you ask that? Because that's the way, that for that reason you have gone to see the movie. So anything what we are trying to do in this world, we are trying to find pleasure. Sometimes we get pleasure, but that pleasure is very, very temporary. For example, I see many Indians here and many British people. So I'll give an example of cake. Suppose you like a cake with a lot of cream, and you have one piece, then you have a second piece, you really like it, you have the third piece, fourth piece, fifth piece, and that's when the sixth piece is given to you, sir, enough. And when the seventh piece is given, no, I don't want to see again this cake for next few days. So you got the pleasure, but that pleasure was very, very temporary. And then again you try to look for something else, pleasure in something else. Because basically the nature of the soul is pleasure seeking. But we try to find that pleasure in temporary situation. But what Srila Prabhupada has explained in his book, that we should try to find the pleasure which is eternal, which is permanent. And how do you find that pleasure? When you try to find your eternal position and you try to establish your relationship with Lord Shri Krishna, or God for that matter. When you establish your relationship with God, then you find that pleasure which is permanent. How do you establish a relationship? Maybe you read something about God, when you hear something about God, or when you pray to God, right? What happens when you are praying to the Lord? You are communicating with the Lord. And you feel he or she, God, is somewhere listening to me. So when you are coming to this temple or any spiritual discourses, you come with a hope that I want to make my connection to God more and more close. But when you come to these places, whom do you meet? People who are connected to God. and they speak to you on behalf of God. Devotees are actually the via medium of Krishna. They are actually representative of Krishna, representative of God. When you start dealing with them, then you start understanding that how you can have this eternal relationship with the Lord. And they care for you. When they care for you, you feel the care of God through devotees.
As we are in the material world, we have come from the material world to the spiritual world. And the material world, the nature of the jiva soul is, we are trying, as she explained, we are trying to be happy. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kare. That when, is explained that when the jiva forgets his connection to God or Krishna, he tries to enjoy sense gratification. And he finds pleasure in the so-called modern advancement that the world is heading towards. Apparently there is a lot of advancement. So there was one person who analyzed this advancement. And then he was asking, is it really worth it? And he was saying that our communication has become wireless. Right? We have a wireless communication. We advanced from a phone with a cord. We had cordless phone. Now we have wireless technology. Our phones are cordless. Our cooking is fireless. Right? Our food is fatless. Yeah. Our sweets are sugarless. Is it not? Nowadays, we want to eat sweet things, but it is no sugar. So there are so many other things that we want to add. So sugarless. Our relations are heartless. Our attitude is careless. This is what is happening. I mean, I'm sure you will agree. Our politics, sorry to say, but they are shameless. Our education, Prabhupada said, education is worthless. Prabhupada called the education system as slaughterhouses. Because they don't teach the connection to God. They take us away from God. So it's worthless. Our mistakes are countless. Our arguments are baseless. Our youth are jobless. No offense to anybody, but this person's analyzing said, our ladies are topless. I'm just reading what he sent to me. Our boss is brainless. Our jobs are thankless. Our needs are endless. And our situation is hopeless. And to top it up all, our salaries are getting less and less. So when you talk about all this, it's just becoming less and less and less. Just imagine the situation. He was analyzing. Isn't it strange that how 20 pounds seems to be such a large amount when you donate to a temple, but such a small amount when you are going to shop? Isn't it strange that how 2 hours seems to be so long when you are at the temple, but how short they seem when you are watching a good movie? You finish movies for 2 hours. And with a temple, you are just counting, oh my God, 2 hours. It's not again. This class is not getting over. When is Prasad coming? It is already 15 minutes. I'm sure everybody is counting the minutes. Right? Isn't it strange that everyone wants to be the front row ticket for a concert or a game, Olympics? I'm sure you all want to be in the front maybe. Right, but they do whatever it is possible to sit at the last row or at the back of the temple room. No offenses to you. Isn't it strange how we believe everything that magazines and newspapers say, but we question the words in Bhagavatam and our scriptures? Right, Bhagavatam, what Hanuman? He built a bridge with monkeys. How can it be possible? It's not possible. But whatever you read in newspapers, you believe it. Right? Somebody says that you just go to this particular medical clinic and you lose 50 pounds of your weight and you believe that and you go. So many things you read, which actually sounds very crazy and absurd, but you believe it. Right? So this is the craziness that's happening in this world, and that is why, as he was mentioning, that we need to get out of this craziness, and somebody needs to, when you come to this sane place, this is the sane place. The world outside is insane, and much more in the place where your temple is. I mean, it is obviously insane, at least the way I see it coming from India. I get quite bewildered what happens here. Huh? Why? Because we have forgotten our connection to God, and we are trying to find that connection. We are trying to somehow or the other desperately find that happiness in whatever we can lay our hands to, through intoxication, to gambling, through meat eating, through illicit sex, and so many things that we want to bombard ourselves with so much sense gratification to find happiness. But the fact is, nobody is really happy. You can ask the people if they are really happy, but they are not happy. Because if they are happy, they would, because if some happiness is real, as explained in the Shastras, Nasato Vidyate Bhavo Na Bhavo Vidyate Sata Upayor Abhi Drishtantas Tva Aniyosh Tattva Darshibi, that happiness, if it is real happiness, is does not really cease to be. A happiness which is real does not really stop. And that happiness which is unreal does not really exist. It's just a phantasmagoria, an illusion that there is happiness. That's what is created in this world. That's why we need here, and we need to be cared so that we understand in this caring environment what is the real knowledge.
We can analyze the word care, that if suppose we say, what are you trying to find in the temple, or what are you trying to learn in the temple when you come? Care stands for culture of respect. C stands for culture of respect. A stands for attitude of gratitude. R stands for relationships which are loving and trustworthy. And E stands for education and training in the various aspects of Krishna consciousness. When we come to temple, you know, we will come in contact through some devotee. And they explained to earlier that when God wants to contact you, He contacts you through some devotee. He sends a message through a devotee, either through a book or an invitation card. We have heard so many stories where people are praying to God, I am suffering, somehow or other, please save me. In different part of the world. And from nowhere, suddenly they get a book. Or suddenly they meet a devotee. Or they see people doing Harinam Kirtan on the roads. And they tell them, why don't you come to the temple? So somehow or other, God makes the contact with the searching soul and brings him to the temple. And once a person comes to the temple, God starts giving his love through his devotees. Who are devotees of Krishna? Who are devotees of God? They are people who look ordinary, human beings, but they have intense desire to serve the Lord, to love God, and they have made some changes in their lifestyle to show to God that I really love you. When we love somebody, what do? We want to express that love. And how do we express that love to that person? By doing those things which are pleasing to that person, right? Whenever you want to love somebody, you want to express somebody, you want to do anything for that person. So similarly, devotees of the Lord, they also want to please Lord. So whatever is necessary to please Lord, they are ready to do. And they have deep commitment and desire, intense desire in their heart that they want to do those things. So when you come in contact with devotees, they will actually connect you to Krishna.
So who is this Krishna? You spoke about care. See, culture of respect. Okay. So they will connect to Krishna. So this care, C-A-R-E, first thing as you mentioned was culture of respect. What is important is if the environment is filled with the attitude that everybody is respecting each other, because that's what it is. You know, when we talk about a country, or when we talk about the people who are ruling the country, what is really required is there must be a culture of respect in the community. And that's what our acharyas, our incarnation of the Lord, they come to teach us. there's a beautiful story to show that how sensitive we have to be to the other person doing something for us out of respect. We should be very sensitive to when somebody does something for us, and we should be really respecting that and not just ignoring what they do for us. So there was this situation in the life of Sri Ramchandra. Sri Ram is the personality of Godhead who incarnated in the Treta Yuga. That is, we have four yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So the Lord incarnates in each yuga to do wonderful pastimes, and the purpose of why he does his pastimes is so that he can attract our hearts to his lotus feet, because he does some amazing pastimes. So there is this pastime where Ram, it's a long story in Ramayana, but he had killed this demon named Ravan, and he had come back to the tip of India, to a place called Kanyakumari. For those who have been there, there's as a tip of India, there's on the tip of Sri Lanka and India, and he was there, and the sages told Ram, even though he was the Lord himself, they told him that, well, you have killed this Ravan who was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and because you have killed a devotee of Lord Shiva, you should perform some abhishekam, or some respects, you should worship Lord Shiva so that you can atone for the offense of killing his devotee. Ram said, surely I will definitely worship this in a form of Lord Shiva. And the way we know that Lord Shiva comes in the form of his Shiva Lingam. There is no deity form of Lord Shiva, but he comes in the form of a Shiva Linga. So they said that you should get the Shiva Lingam from Mount Kailash, which is on the northern side of India, very high. So whom Ram must have selected to do this service? Any guesses? Yes? Hanuman, correct. Yes, wonderful. So he selected Hanuman. And why do you think he selected Hanuman? Because of his good track record, right? When you want to really find, select somebody for service, then you see the track record. Okay, how he has done the previous service. Hanuman had done this similar service of getting this whole mountain. I mean, Hanuman was such a dynamic person that he was sent to find some herbs. And he couldn't figure out which herbs, so he just got the whole mountain. It must be there somewhere. So carry the whole mountain. And right from the northern side of India to the southern side. And by the way, this is not mythology. Better believe it. Because you are believing the newspapers and the other articles. So better believe this also. Right? So it's there in the Shastras. It is a Shabda Praman. It is there. We must believe it. So he was sent. Hanuman said, yes, I'll go. And he went. He flew. He had the power of flying. So he would fly. He started flying. But they said that it's important that you worship Lord Shiva in a fixed period of time. It has to be before this time, otherwise you lose the credit of worshipping Lord Shiva. So he told Hanuman, you are going, but it's a time-bound program. You know, you cannot just, you have to come. Hanuman said, no problem, I'll just come. So he went, but it took little more time to Hanumanji, unlike the last time that we had gone. He took little more time, and the time was ticking by, and it was the real muhurat, or the auspicious time of doing it was just coming very close. And Ram was seeing in the sky, and there was no trace of Hanuman. So they were worried. And Sita, his wife, was really worried. I said, I must assist my husband. He must finish this worship before the time. So she, with her own hands, with the sand, it was a beach place. So she took the sand and she made a Shivalingam with her own loving hands. And Ram worshipped that Shivalingam. And then he finished his worship. And just when he had finished the worship, Hanuman came flying down, and when he came, he was so despondent. So Ram could have told them, that sorry, Hanuman, every day you cannot be successful. I'm sorry, this time you didn't make it. What to do? But he had this culture of respect. Even though he was the Lord himself, he respected his devotees, respected what the devotee does for him. So he said, Hanuman, please get your Shivalinga. He put the Shivalinga, he worshipped his Shivalinga, and he proclaimed for the rest of eternity, he said, if anybody wants to worship the Shivalinga which is made by Mother Sita, they must first worship the Shivalinga which is got by Hanumanji, and then they can go and worship the Shivalinga of Mother Sita. So even to this day, if you go to Rameshwaram, and I recommend all of you to go there whenever you are in India, it's a beautiful place, very holy place, right on the banks of this, this confluence of the Bay of Bengal and the Arabian Sea, and you will see there are two Shivalingams, to commemorate this beautiful story, which shows the importance of culture of respect and how sensitive Ram was to the service that Hanumanji did for him. Even though it was a small thing, but was sensitive to this, and for rest of eternity, this story shows the importance of culture of respect. And that is what we are trying to create in our societies. The importance of respecting the seniors, the importance of respecting the ladies, the importance of respecting the children, the importance of respecting each other. That is what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada said devotees of ISKCON should be thorough gentlemen and gentlewomen. That means the whole environment should be filled with the culture of respect.
So let's talk about attitude of gratitude. A stands for attitude of gratitude. What is attitude? If I tell you that I have a black balloon, white balloon, red balloon, yellow balloon, I have filled all the different color balloons with a black color balloon, with the air, and I am trying to fly, will the black color balloon go up? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because it is air. It doesn't matter what you look outside. What it matters is what is inside. What matters is what is inside. So similarly, what matters to Krishna is what is within. He wants us to be very, very grateful. If we are not grateful, we are great fools. We have to be grateful because our Supreme Father, God, has given us free air to breathe, free energy in the form of sun, water to drink, food to eat, and nice loving devotees. So we must be grateful to the Lord, not expecting more and more and more. Normally when we come in front of God, what do we ask? We have a list. I want this, 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 this. Please make me pass in my exam, make my job better, make my wife a little more loving, or let me fight less with my partner, so many things. But we, when we come in front of the Lord, the first thing we have to do is be grateful to Him for whatever He has given to us. The next thing is be grateful to the devotees. Each and every devotee who is sitting next to you is a very special person because he has taken shelter of Lord Krishna. So we must be grateful to the Lord for giving us association of devotees. We have to be grateful to the Lord for giving us this human birth. Because it is not possible in the life of an animal to think about God, to hear about God. But in the human form of life, this is the best form of life where you can inquire, who am I, who is God, why am I here, what happens after death, why bad things are happening in my life, I am such a good person. Do we feel sometimes, I am so good, why bad things are happening in my life, or why bad things are happening in my near and dear ones' lives? So human life is very, very rare. And because we should be thankful to Krishna that He has given us this human life. And how do we show this gratitude to Krishna? By thanking Him. How do we thank Him? How do you thank somebody when you want to thank somebody? What does that mean?
You fold your hands.
You fold your hands, yes, and you chant His names. You fold your hand, chant His names together. Or sometimes writing letters. Right? We write thank you cards. So similarly, how you can show your gratitude to the Lord by chanting His names, by writing sometimes letters, and by attending lectures, where you are hearing about Him. When you hear more and more about Him, what happens? You start loving Him more and more. How do you develop your love for God? By hearing about Him. So how do you express that love? Again, hearing more and more and more. So second thing is attitude of gratitude. We have seen there are so many stories in the scriptures where the devotees of the Lord, they go through many, many difficulties. I will tell you the story of one of the greatest queen of India, Queen Kunti. Kunti was one of the greatest devotee of the Lord. At her very young age, you know, she was, her father had a friend who didn't have a child, so she was given an adoption to that other king, and she didn't complain. She said, thank you God, whatever you want me to do. Afterwards, she was married to the greatest of the king, and at very young age, she became a widow, and she had 5 sons. Still, she did not complain. She was grateful to the Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Whatever you do in my life, it is best for me. Afterwards, his children, they went through so many difficulties. The Pandavas were again and again, sometimes they were put in the house of lack, sometimes they were given the poisonous cakes, sometimes their wife was insulted, her grandchildren were murdered. But still, at the end of everything, what was she saying? She was just folding her hands and telling Krishna that whatever you do in my life is best for me. I have that faith. So if we develop this attitude in all our lives, that whatever you do, Krishna, in my life, I am very grateful to you. Then what happens? Then you don't expect anything from anybody. How can you be grateful to others when you don't expect? When you have very great ego and you're expecting something from others, then whatever the other person does, you feel, no, he didn't do enough. He should have done this. But if you don't expect anything from the other person, including God, then whatever he gives, you'll always be thankful. So we have to develop this attitude of gratitude in our community and in our own life. And then we have to develop loving relationships. How do we experience the love of Krishna? Through his devotees. And when we have this good loving relationships, it nourishes our life. So we can see, so in the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya was incarnation of Krishna, and he appeared 500 years ago, and he was staying in Bengal in Navadvip. And there are many, many pastimes where he had extremely loving relationship with his devotees. Maybe you can explain the story about that.
So this, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the first incarnation. I think you have a... So you can see this Sango Pangastra Parshadam. He came with his associates, and the way he propagated God consciousness was by his loving relationship with his devotees. So in this you see the person on your left is a old looking man. His name is Advaita Acharya, right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Lord himself, and Advaita Acharya was his devotee. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a relationship with him of awe and reverence because of his age. He would always worship Advaita Acharya. He couldn't see him as a devotee. And Advaita Acharya was very, very uncomfortable with this worship that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. How can God worship me? I'm his devotee. I'm supposed to worship him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give a lot of respect. He would touch his feet. He would offer him obeisances. Because Advaita Acharya was much elder by age, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would recognize that. And as a culture of respect that we spoke about, he had this respect, and he was respecting Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya tried his level best to somehow convince the Lord that, please do not give me respect. I'm very uncomfortable with this respect that you are giving me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not stop giving him respect, because he had that strong relationship with him, a relationship of you know, giving him respect. So Advaita Acharya decided to have he played a trick with the Lord. So Advaita Acharya suddenly was not to be seen in this place where he was staying, a place called Navadvip, which is in West Bengal in India. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where is Advaita Acharya gone? I don't see him for the last 3-4 days. Where is he gone? The devotees came and told him, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, don't you know that he has started to preach Mayavad philosophy? What we believe, as enunciated by Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the bhakti cult, where we recognize that we are always eternally servants of God And our duty eternally would be to serve God. We can never become God. And what does Mayavad preach? Mayavad preaches that you can do the process of bhakti, but the end of the process of bhakti is, in due course, you will become God. And that is the most horrible thing for a bhakta to think, that how can a servant become a master? Not possible. Servant always remains a servant. That's the natural position of a jiva soul. A part always remain a part. Part cannot be a whole. Krishna is the whole. The jiva soul is always the part. So when Advaita Acharya started to preach this Mayavad philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry. He said, what happened to him? You know, somebody brainwashed him or something? Why is he giving up the bhakti cult? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, in one of the things he said is, Mayavad bhashya sunile hoy sarvanash. If you even hear the philosophy of Mayavad, your bhakti is completely destroyed, is finished. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu waited for a few days and he was getting a report that now he's preaching here, he's preaching there. And Advaita Acharya is incarnation of Sadashiv, the original Sadashiv, Lord Shiva. And the same Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya, who was a proponent of the Mayavad philosophy. And the more details you can ask in this, some other Sunday fish class, and maybe Jainita Prabhu will explain to you what is all this Shankaracharya philosophy. But he was the one who preached the Mayavad philosophy. So when the original Lord Shiva speaks about Mayavad, he sounds so very convincing, and people were really changing from the bhakti cult and they were becoming Mayavadis. Navadvip, which was predominantly place of devotees, the place where devotion was flourishing, suddenly throngs of people were going to attend his classes and they're becoming Mayavadis. And Advaita Acharya in one of the classes was saying that bhakti is like a ladder. You can use the ladder to go up. When you reach the destination, you should simply kick off the ladder because you don't need a ladder anymore. So bhakti is like that. Bhakti is simply a process, but in the end you will realize that you are God. People will say, oh, very nice. And then he was explaining, this body is like a pot. There's air inside the pot and there's air outside the pot. When the pot breaks, what happens? The air inside the pot merges with the air outside the pot and they all become one. Similarly, this body is like a pot, he was saying. And the soul is inside the body. When the soul leaves this body, what happens? This soul merges with the super soul and everything becomes one. And everybody's sounding, oh, this is very convincing. I'm sure many of you are thinking, this is right, isn't it? It sounds very convincing, and that's what he was preaching. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry. And he said, take him to the place where he's doing his preaching right now. So he went. And Advaita Acharya, from his corner of his eyes, was seeing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. And when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, he started to preach with much more vigor, much more force and much more intensity. And people were getting mesmerized by what he was speaking. And then at one point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eyes were red hot. He was furious, he was angry. Because his own very close associate was preaching something which he was dead against. So he went running. And it was Advaita Acharya was sitting on a race platform. And then right on the race platform, he caught hold of Advaita Acharya. Maybe caught hold of his beard. And he pulled him down. Can you imagine if somebody is giving a class like this and, you know, Jainita Prabhu comes and pulls me down and starts, you know, what would it look like? So not that he just pulled him down, but he pulled him down and he started beating him, punching him. And he's an old man. So his wife came running from the audience, Advaita Acharya's wife, and said, please leave this old man, he will die the way you are beating him. But what was the reaction of Advaita Acharya? He was laughing in ecstasy. And he was saying, oh my dear Lord, where is the respect that you have for me gone now? Where is the awe and reverence that you have been having for me for years, that I'm trying to tell you not to have, but where is it all gone now? I'm so happy, I'm so blissful. Please beat me more, please beat me more. At last you accepted me as your servant. Because only when you accept me, somebody as a servant, can you beat him. If you think somebody is a master, you can't beat him. And the way you are beating me, the way you pulled me down from the Vyasasan, that means you accept me as a servant. And he was in ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized, oh my God, he has been tricked. The Lord was tricked by his devotee. Huh? So this is the importance of relationship. Huh? There's a constant competition between the Lord and his devotee to respect each other. The devotee wants to respect the Lord, and the Lord is in competition to respect his devotee. And guess who wins? The devotee always wins. Because the Lord, he doesn't have the capacity to reciprocate to the unlimited love that devotees have in their heart. When there's a competition between giving love, Holi, we have a Holi festival, right? Holi, where we play with colors. And the Holi festival is nothing but a way to show love. And on one side there's Srimati Radharani and her team, and on the other side there is Krishna and his team. And they throw colors. And every time it is said in the Shastras, who wins? Srimati Radharani's team wins. Because the devotee has more power to show love to the Lord than the Lord. Of course, it is all possible because the Lord is ultimately allowing that to happen. Because Lord becomes most happy when he sees his devotee is most happy. When a father and a small child is playing boxing. Huh? And then, you know, if a father really wants to really be winning, he just gives a punch and the child is dead there. But what do fathers do? He just gets punched and he falls down. And he falls here and he sees that he shows that he's bruised. And the child becomes very happy. Oh, father, you know. So this is the natural relationship. The Lord loves to see his devotees winning. And in their winning, the Lord is very happy. So this is relationship.
So this was relationship between Lord and the devotees. But what about the relationship between devotees? And there's a very nice pastime in Ramayana. That when Ram, with all his monkey army, he reached on the shore of Lanka. And at that time, he was on the other side of Lanka actually, and he was waiting. At that time, the brother of Ravan, you know, the demon Ravan who kidnapped Sita to Lanka. And Ravan had three brothers. They were three brothers. Ravan was the eldest, middle one was Kumbhakarna, and the youngest was Vibhishan. It is said that Ravan was personification of mode of passion, because he wanted to always enjoy some women and he wanted a lot of wealth. Kumbhakarna was a mode of personification, mode of ignorance, because he always wanted to sleep. And Vibhishan was a personification of mode of goodness. So Vibhishan tried to convince Ravan that please give up Mother Sita, return Sita back to Lord Ram. But Ravan was not listening. And at one point of time, Vibhishan decided to give up the association of Ravana and join Ram's army. When Vibhishan came to meet Lord Ram, he sent the messenger that I have come and I would like to join your party. So at that time, Lord Ramchandra was with Hanumanji and Sugriv. Sugriv was the king of the monkeys, monkey soldiers. So Ram started discussing with Hanuman and Sugriv. So what should we do? Should we allow Vibhishan to join our party? Because after all, he is from an enemy party. So when they were discussing, Sugriv started replying that no, ultimately he is a demon. He is brother of Ravana. You can never trust him. You know, he might just cheat us. So we should not accept him. Even if he has come to surrender to you, I feel you should not accept him. And Lord Ramchandra asked Hanumanji, what do you think? And Hanumanji said, I feel that we should accept him. Because when I visited Lanka and I was searching for Mother Sita, this was the only house where I could find, I was hearing the name of Lord Ram, and I could see that there was a Tulsi outside his house, and he's your great devotee. And he wants to surrender his life to you. So now here you see that Ram is in front of two of his great devotees. One is telling him, don't allow Vibhishan to join. And another one is saying, let Vibhishan in. And both of them were trying to do for the pleasure of Lord Ram. Sugriv was also trying to please Lord Ram. And Vibhishan was also trying to please Lord Ram. Hanuman was also trying to please Lord Ram. And Ram decided that we will let Vibhishan join the party. Then, naturally, what happens? What would have happened? Sugriv should have felt bad. you asked me, and when I'm giving you the solution, you're not accepting the solution. But because both Sugriv and Hanuman, they only wanted to please Lord Ram. That's why it was very good loving relationship. So how can we have loving relationship among devotees? When we know that all of our intention ultimately is to please and serve the Lord. It is not for my pleasure or your pleasure. It is for the pleasure of Lord. Then we can cooperate, we can have love and trust in our relationship. When our center is Lord, to please Him, to serve Him, and our intentions are very pure.
And the last point is E, means education and training. The main thing that we need to understand is Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the ultimate controller. And that is what, if we understand that God is the supreme controller of all controllers, and supreme, nothing happens without His sanction, then that is the best education we can get. And there was this beautiful story, and after which we will end. There was a person whose wife was a great devotee, but he was not. He was an atheist. He didn't want to really believe in God. So some other, his wife pulled him to one of such programs in the temple. And, speaker was speaking that the God is a supreme controller. Not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. And this person was so envious by nature. And then he felt so agitated. He stood up. He said, "No, God is not the supreme controller. How can you say that nothing moves without sanction of God? Today I take a vow. For the next 24 hours, I am not going to drink a drop of water and not eat a grain of food. And let me see how your God interferes in that. I am the control. I'll decide and nothing can happen." And he said, "I take a vow and through open challenge." And just to be really secure in following his challenge, he went to the nearby forest. And right in the middle of the forest, he went to a tall tree. And he climbed the tree and was hanging and sitting in one of the top branches. So that there was no question of any allurement or any food or something like that. Very soon we have this Nirjal Ekadasi coming, 1st of June, where devotees will fast. And especially on Nirjal Ekadasi, if there's some smell comes, it becomes so difficult to do in Nirjal Ekadasi, right? It's just, I said, keep all this food away, because for this one day I cannot eat it. So we want to be away from food, because if it comes in our nose or you see it, it becomes difficult to really follow. Similarly, he said that no way I'm going to see food or smell food here, and for 24 hours, it's a challenge. So sitting. And he sat for almost 12 hours and said, "Only 12 hours more and I refute the fact that this guy is spoke in the lecture that God is supreme controller. I am the controller. What happens is something which I decide." It's fine. So after 12, 13 hours, there was a group of people who was walking from one village to the other village. They had to pass by this jungle. And right below the tree where he was sitting on the top, these people, they sat down and they opened their tiffin boxes. And they said, "Oh, we are so hungry before we entered this village. It was right time for lunch. So let us open up and eat something." And on the top he was saying, "Ah, God, you are trying to attract me. I'm not going to eat food. You are trying to get these people below with all the food. I'm not going to eat. I'm very firm." So these people said open and they started eating their morsel of food. And while they were eating, there was a big roar of a lion with the herd. And they got scared and they left the food there and they ran away. So here was this man on the top of the tree and the food was down and he was no way. He was determined. And then another only 8 hours left and then I'm successful. And then came a band of very ferocious dacoits. And they had just had a big loot in the previous village and they were sitting there and they were all very hungry. They said, "Village is very close, the next village, and we will go and eat." But as they were walking, they saw this whole food which this previous group had left. They ran away. I said, "Hey man, this whole full meal here for all four of us. As how come it is just it happens to be here?" I said, let's honor it. It's some arrangement. Let's honor it." But one person said, "Wait. He was one of the wise people in the group. And he said, "Listen, there's something fishy. We are carrying so much wealth with us. We have done a big loot. Somebody here must have poisoned this food. And what he is intending is that we eat this food because we must be hungry, and then we eat and we die, and he'll take away all the wealth that we have. And the person, if he has poisoned the food, he must be around somewhere. They were searching and searching, and they found this guy up. And he said, "What are you doing up there? What is a jungle? What are you sitting up there?" So they pulled him down. And you know, he was scared, he was shivering, but they were ferocious looking people. I said, "What have you done to this food?" He said, No, I've not done anything. "You have poisoned this food." No, I have not poisoned this food. "Then eat it." "No, I can't eat it." Then they got more suspicious. I said, "Why are you saying no that he can't eat it?" So one of them caught hold of his hands, one of them caught hold of his legs, one of them opened his mouth and put the food inside. And then he realized that if Krishna wants you to eat food, even if you do not want to eat it, you have to eat food. So this is a small, important story of the fact that we must understand the importance of education. That is what this temple provides. Education that God is the supreme controller of Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gnantamam Shanti Mrishchati. Krishna says in the Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, I am the enjoyer of everything. God says that I am not the living beings enjoyers. And we recognize that God is the cause of all causes. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vikra Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Not that he is not the cause of some causes, he is the cause of all causes. So when we recognize this fact that God is the cause of all causes, and we give respect, we have the culture of respect, we have the attitude of gratitude, we have the relationship of loving relationship amongst the devotees and amongst everybody coming here, and we are well educated and trained into the principles of Krishna consciousness, then the whole community becomes a very, very caring community and becomes a very attractive community for people to not only get attracted to come in the community but to continue staying in their community. So this is what we wanted to share with you.
I just end with that: when we have a community spirit, it's a family spirit. We should feel like a big family of devotees. And when in this family spirit, whatever we do together, we care for each other. And a family that prays together, stays together. A family that dances together, advances together. A family that dines together, shines together.
And a family which sings together, clings together.
So Srila Prabhupada has made this process very, very simple. You sing and you pray and you dance together. You say, sing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you dine together, Krishna Prasadam. And when you do this, there is loving family spirit and there is lot of happiness which we are actually looking for in this material world. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Landanishwar ki. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya ki. Itai Gaura Primanandi.
Shri Shri Ram Prabhu ki. Jai Shri Mataji ki. So maybe we have a minute if anyone maybe has a question or two you would like to ask. Any questions?
Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Both are important. The question is, he's asking that we should have more commitment to our family or to Krishna. That is his question. We should understand that Krishna is Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the seed-wing father of all living entities. So he's the supreme father, and every living entity, we talk of our direct family, is part of Krishna's family. So, but being part of a family, it is our immediate responsibility to take care of the family on all levels of physical, social, emotional, mental and spiritual health of the family. But we have to give this care in a Krishna-centric way, keeping God in the center. So we have to take, it is our duty. God doesn't say that you abandon your family and just worship me. No scriptures say that. God says, in fact, Arjun, the Gita was spoken, Arjun wanted to give up everything. And he wanted to go to the forest and not fight as a Kshatriya. He was a warrior. And he was in the battlefield. And he said, no, I can't fight because the people on opposite side, all my relatives. And Krishna spoke the whole Gita to inspire him that you should do your duty. And your duty is as a warrior is to fight, and you must fight. The whole Gita was spoken to inspire a person to do his duty. But he said, you do it in such a way and you offer the fruits unto me. Karmane vadikaraste ma phale sukadachana. That you have the right to perform a duty, but the results are in God's hands. So similarly, no scripture says that you abandon all your duties of being a son or being a wife or being a husband or being a teacher or being whatever profession you have. But you do it with much more attention because you do this as a service to God. When you are serving your family and you bring them closer to Krishna, then you are directly serving Krishna. Because you're helping one of his own children to come close to Krishna. So when you're providing your family with food, for example, which is your duty, then you just train your family that whatever we cook here should be vegetarian food which Krishna honors. Krishna doesn't honor. Krishna says clearly what he likes. He said, patram fushma palam toyam. He didn't say anything beyond this. So you cook vegetarian food, you offer it to God, have a nice altar in your home, and then the whole family eats food. So we have to eat food, but then we eat prasad. Right, so that is taking care of the family, but we are Krishnaizing it, isn't it? Similarly, whatever we do, whatever money we make, whatever education we give to our children, they might go to an outside school for education to learn mathematics, geography, history. But at the same time, you give them the knowledge of God, of Krishna. Give them the knowledge that they are servants of God, and that is the perfection of a father, of a mother. Guru na sasya, janini na sasya, that there is no, the scriptures explain that one who is in a leadership position has no right to be a leader till he helps the people under him to get rid of the cycle of birth and death. And nobody has a right to become a guru, nobody has a right to become a mother or a father, nobody has a right to become a teacher till he helps or she helps people under her or him to get rid of the cycle of birth and death. So if you are doing it in that mood, that is perfection. This is Yukta Vairagya. This is, there are three types of activities: karma, akarma and vikarma. Karma is just activities which you do and you get reaction. You do good activities, you get good reactions. You do bad activities, you have bad reactions. Vikarma obviously are bad activities which you get severe bad reactions. But akarma is there is no reactions. Because, and that activities are when you do activities keeping God in the center of your life. Thank you. Krishna just, we are made on the image of God. Like, just like there's an ocean and the drop of the ocean. The drop has the same quality as the ocean, but it is minute in size. Similarly, we are as good as God, but minute in all the qualities of God. So God is all independent. A bigger swarat is all independent. And because we are made in image of God, we have minute independence, which even God doesn't interfere. So He has given you the free will to decide what you do, what you want to do with your free will. You have, as He said in the beginning, Jaini Taipur, as a temple president, said, you have a right whether you want to go to a park today, being a sunny, Sunday, because there's a sun and today, so there's Sunday. Literally in India, we run away from sun because there's so much sun. But here I see people are, it's a festival when sun comes out. Naturally, because, you don't get it so often, right? So
What was I saying? So your choice whether you want to go to the park or come to a temple. Krishna will not interfere. Krishna will not pull you. Come to the temple. You cannot go to the park. Krishna has a free will. But how you use your free will decides your future karma. If you go to a park and engage, I mean, not that you engage in bad activities in a park, but you could do wrong things in the park, and then you get into the cycle of more and more karma. But you come here, you're going to have nice prasad, you all are delaying it because you're asking questions. But you get nice prasad, and you catch each other's hands, and you dance in kirtan, and you advance, as she said. You sing Krishna songs, then you're making rapid progress. So Krishna doesn't interfere in that. So that's what Krishna said, that you have right to perform your karma. And he doesn't interfere.
Also, if we see on an individual basis that if one person is drinking alcohol, then he is the one who gets the disease of alcohol, not his wife, or not the children. So each one is individually responsible for his own karma. You suffer your own reactions.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure to be here in this very, very special and important temple of the ISKCON Society, the world famous temple. People just dream, people in India, they want to dream and come to this special place because Prabhupada's mercy is so much prevalent here. And I'm happy to serve the devotees of this temple. Thank you very, very much.
In fact, we heard today, we were whole day hearing story and pastimes of a devotee who joined this temple, who became a devotee in this temple, and unfortunately who has left his body in a plane crash last week. And so many devotees were glorifying that, his father especially. This devotee, he was a young IT student, and he came to London.
Who is Krishna Pranadika Madhaji? Is there somebody called Krishna?
So this devotee, he's a young boy who came to London at the age of 19 for higher studies. And because he was coming from a very strong Sri Vaishnava family, his father was telling that he wanted to have very pure food. And he was searching, and he found that there is a ISKCON temple here, and he was working close by. So he started coming here just to have pure vegetarian prasadam because he was a Vaishnava. And then because he started eating prasad here, he thought he should do some services for other Londoneshwar. You cannot just take anything from the temple, we should give something. And he started doing a lot of services, and he became a great devotee. And his father was telling that, I'm so grateful to Radha Londoneshwar and Srila Prabhupada that he has provided this facility even in the Western world. And his son could become a devotee. He said he was worried that his son going to London, he may, you know, get entangled into so many different types of enjoyments. But instead of that, he said he became attached to Krishna, and thanks to Radha Londoneshwar. So each one of you who have come here, you have the same potential. It is the greatest fortune to be present in front of Radha Londoneshwar.
Thank you.
Please let us express our gratitude and appreciation for Sridham and Kishori Mataji and Prabhu by chanting very loudly three Hari Bols.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
I think if we want them to come back again, we have to chant a little bit louder than that.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Sridham Prabhu, Kishori Mataji, Ki! Thank you both very, very much. Just before we break for prasadam, I'm going to detain you just a little bit for a couple of announcements. First, I'd just like to ask, is there anyone, I said earlier, anyone who's here for the first time? There were a few hands that went up. Okay. What's your name, if you don't mind? Yeah. Georgia. And where are you from, Georgia?
Italy.
Nice to have you with us. And how did you find out about the center today, Georgia?
From a friend of mine.
A friend? That's okay. I don't speak very good Italian either. So thank you for coming, Georgia.